Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Live 610 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. And holy smokes, man, you'd think nothing happens on New Year's Eve. And then, like, the whole world goes haywire yesterday a little bit locally. I mean, you know, there's always stories somewhere. But, man, aside from the football, let me get to the football. Can we agree the football's been fantastic?
It has.
Holy smokes. I mean, and not only they're good games, but all the right people are winning. Sorry, Alabama fans, but not sorry.
Sorry.
not even a little bit. Not Alabama, but, you know, Ohio State, I meant, sorry. a good friend who works here at the station is a huge Ohio State fan. And you got to, nobody likes Ohio State except Ohio State fans.
Right.
Just like Alabama. You know, nobody likes Alabama except Alabama fans. Right. You know, and the Yankees. And is it because they're great or is it because, well, I don't know. You leave it. But, you know, when you make such a big deal about the Ohio State, you know, like the Ohio State. Sorry, it's just pretentious. You know, I have a question for you, John. You'll know this because you're from there. I don't know.
From where?
Well, from South Florida.
Oh, okay.
Dumb question. Why do we call Miami the U? Because literally every school is a university.
Why do they call it that?
I mean, you're rare.
I mean,
Division
it's their like
one college. There are, I guess, some. I was trying to think about it yesterday, you know, if there are any, but I mean, literally everybody's a university. Why did Miami luck into getting the U? It's kind of weird, right?
Well, and it's also like the hurricane symbol. So they just really adopted the U.
It's an H?
No, it's a U.
Okay, but that's not a hurricane symbol. U.
I know, but that's I just wanted.
You're literally telling me that they're called the U because they make the U symbol.
Yeah,
but where'd they get the U symbol from?
From their logo. Come on now.
Which is a U. I get it.
I know.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Somebody in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like a mystery to me. I want to know. 437.
Well, I didn't go to school there, but.
437-1620. Holy smokes, this Wells Fargo story. You know, it's kind of funny. Somebody had sent me this video, like, I don't know, 2 days ago, maybe? And you know, some people are not professionally trained in the use of their phone and making videos. Can I put it that way, gently? And first of all, they turn the phone upright, and God knows why you people make videos of your phone in portrait orientation. I mean, well, it's for Instagram. Oh, okay, it's still bad. And I'm watching this video. Somebody had sent it to me. It was like 3 a.m. So I'm half awake, getting up, and they're like, "Was this Pensacola?" And I'm kind of watching it, and it's like jumping and moving all over, and you can't see anything, and it's a portrait orientation to begin with, and so it's, what am I watching? I don't know. And I just kind of, I'm not dealing with that. Well, it turns out that was here.
That was.
Turns out it was here, and it was a bunch of people collecting, I guess, the hundreds, the 20s, I don't know, that had spilled out of the back of the armored car while the employee had their back turned from a wind gust behind the Wells Fargo, I think on Fairfield, is that where this was? I got to put my computer on, John.
Oh, well. It's
mayhem
early.
Outside a local Wells Fargo bank. Witnesses say thousands of dollars were spread on the ground and in the air outside the building. And what could have been an opportunity for a quick cash grab turned into a moment of good faith. Witnesses say it looked like a movie scene, and it was all caught on camera. Take a look.
Yesterday's winds brought more than cold air to an Escambia County bank off Fairfield Drive. Tuesday afternoon, thousands of dollars came flying out of a Brinks truck.
This is just one of the last things you would expect to see at the bank.
Rodney A. tells me he was in the middle of a transaction when he noticed some commotion outside.
I look to my left and there's gusts of wind that are just blowing clumps of the money across the parking lot.
No rubber bands or money bags in sight, just piles of $20 bills.
If you're in the bank...
Wait a second.
You know, put yourself in the scenario. You're in the bank and you look outside and there's just 20s flying around, or, you know, bills. You don't know whether they're 20s, I suppose, at a distance or not. What do you do?
I'm running out the bank,
bro. Sound of the comic book character, that, you know, like the Flintstone? Everybody's turning circles with their legs, running outside real fast. And then you get out there, and what do you expect to see? People with pocketfuls of money, right? They're making off with the moolah. By the way, is illegal.
It
illegal,
is?
It is illegal to take money from... Yeah, it's not your money.
Well, I found it. Finders keepers.
No, sir.
Finders keepers.
No. No, if they find... Yeah, well, if they find you, they keep you.
Oh.
So.
Rodney later learned there was a Brinks truck behind the building. He says a gust of wind blew by the truck while the operator had his back turned. It only took a matter of seconds for the money to go flying.
I knew it wasn't my money. And I didn't want to see it blow away. It was literally just blowing like into the abyss.
That's when he jumped in to help collect the cash. He says he picked up $460 within a matter of minutes. He didn't pocket the money, instead returning the funds to the bank teller.
So 2320s, right? 460.
That about a PS5.
I will say this. I like that he knew how much he had. He was counting it. Was it an as-you-go counting, or was it a, you know, because it, listen, if you acquire hundreds of dollars suddenly on a, I guess this would have been like this, today's Tuesday, this would have been a Tuesday, I think is when this actually happened. You know, there is a part of you where the more money you collect, the harder it gets to turn it back in. Point. But it is absolutely the right thing. He's absolutely right. It's not his money. It is somebody else's money. And I will check with Mike Wood when he's in this morning in an hour, but I am 90% sure that it would be considered theft if you took the money.
So if I just find a random 20 on the ground, I can't pick it up?
Can pick it up.
And roll? I mean.
But I'll check with Mike in an hour. I'm pretty sure the rule is if you have a reasonable belief that it is from another person, it's theft. And that would and there may be a specific caveat in the law about armored trucks and banks. But yeah, if, you know.
Yeah, this didn't come from a person. I have no idea.
I don't know, officer. I was just standing here and this 20 blew into my pocket. What you mean? There's other people?
What?
Who also got money? I don't know nothing about that. Actually, let's do traffic on the fives. John, go ahead.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 29, 98, and 90 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
But this turns out to be this, you know, really great story about, precisely because you can understand that a lot of people would think, oh, it's my lucky day. It's January 1st. I knew eating those black-eyed peas would pay off, you know.
Thank you.
And Rodney wasn't alone. Eyewitness video showing more than a dozen bystanders lending an extra hand to collect the cash.
Made me feel good about the human spirit that everybody was contributing to helping out. I was surprised. There were people on bicycles, there was children, and there was all with the spirit of helping the guy out.
Rodney estimates upwards of $10,000 was spread throughout the parking lot.
I'm sure people did probably pocket money. But it was more people that were helping out than there was people that were trying to fill their pockets up.
Yeah, that's great. And by the way, I love that he's like, I don't want to be identified by my full name, but you can call me Rodney A. And here's my voice. And the teller, no comment. I mean, obviously somebody here is losing a job. So you figure that's probably going to happen too, unfortunately. No, but really, I mean, it's good. You do kind of, just from a sociological perspective, you wonder how this scenario is different under what I would say are three changes to the event. I may think of more, but I have three so far. Change number one, day versus night. Do people behave differently in the day versus in the night? You know, because in the night, people feel like they get away with stuff. I mean, just normal human reaction. Number two, if there are fewer people present versus more people present, right? If it's just one person and there's $10,000 floating around, you know. And then the third one, and I think this is probably the most important one. What are other people doing? Now, I don't know whether other people pocketed the money or not, obviously. I mean, even he says he didn't really notice. He just kind of suspects maybe some people did. But if everybody's doing the right thing, then it's easier to do the right thing because everybody's doing the right thing. And if everybody's like, it's in my bra, it's in my shoes, you know, I'm taking it anywhere I can get it, putting it under my wig, you know, like that, it's going everywhere it needs to go. Everybody, every man for himself, right? That's collective action, the standard set by groups, mob behavior, you know, mob psychology can be good and bad, right? If everybody's doing the right thing, it's easier to do the right thing because you don't want to be out of the sort of group. And if everybody's doing the wrong thing, it's easy to imagine if, you know, this had happened in a place where people were starting to take the money, then every man for himself. So I don't know. It's a cool story. It is, you know, and I think, again, I'm 85%. Confident that this would have been theft if they had taken the money. So 437-1620. Oh, and then the other story, this is not a good story. Do you see the story about that? I know Steve covered these at the top of the hour, but you see the story about the mailman? The postal worker who's just driving, doing his route on New Year's Eve, drops off a package, and subsequently, a few minutes later, he sees a kid on his electric scooter with that package, scooting down the street.
I love the sound effects. You tried.
Is it more a Jetson?
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. And if you know the outcome of this story, fine. But if you don't, put yourself in his shoes for just a second. You know people steal packages off of porches. And if this is your profession, it has got to be one of the most frustrating things that you can think about all the time is how much the people you deliver stuff to get stuff stolen from them and how inconvenient it is and frustrating and, humanity, you know, and we're trying to have a civilization here and you people. And suddenly you're witnessing the crime in action. You're seeing porch theft in action. And you feel like, I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to stop this nonsense right now. And you know how it is with like a minor offense that it's minor the first time, but by about the 50th time, it just works its way up to where you just live it. Like, you know, somebody cuts you off one time, you know, but then eventually a bunch of people cut you off and you start thinking, well, I mean, I would love to load rocket launchers onto my car. You know, you start to think like this should be a capital offense. Remember, I was talking with Bob Johnson about this the other day and I said, these minor offenses that feel so bad, you know, what can we do to people who do this? Because they're not playing human right. I can easily imagine how that was his reaction. Is like, I've seen this so many times. I'm so infuriated. I got a guy who's doing this. I'm going to take care of business. And then in his brain, the switch flips. And he decides not just to be the vigilante. I mean, it's all alleged, but this is what the report says, okay? He decides to be the vigilante and not just go get the package, but he decides to run the kid over with his mail truck. Stealing a package off a porch is not a capital offense. And you cannot use a deadly weapon of a vehicle. I mean, this would be like shooting the kid because running him over is like shooting him, right? It's like if you had a gun, can you shoot him? No, you can't shoot somebody who's engaged in a misdemeanor. What are the rules? Self-defense, defense of other, threat to life and limb, articulable belief that you are in serious danger or somebody else is in serious danger. Well, none of that is true here. It's just fury at a porch thief, perceived. So he runs the kid over, but the kid manages to miss getting hit. He runs over the scooter. The kid flees into a yard. He then takes the scooter and again, throws it out later somewhere else, and the neighbor sees all this and comes running out to confront him. And all of it would have been one story if everything I just said had been the case. But what's the key fact about all this? He delivered the package to the wrong address, and the kid was trying to help by delivering it to the right address. So the kid was actually doing something very, very right and almost got killed for it. And thank God he didn't. But it's that quick jump to conclusions, built up, repressed rage, finds an outlet. And that's why I kind of told the story the way I did, because you can kind of understand where what was going on in the postal driver's mind. But that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it okay. And it certainly, especially in this case where he was completely wrong about what was going on, that, you know, this is why you don't take matters into your own hands. This is why vigilantism is wrong, dangerous. We have a process for handling these things. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. I-10, I-1, 10, 29, 90, 98 all look good. I'm not seeing any delays in our area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one and two bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state of the art fitness center, Energy Star rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview, location, community, quality living, all starts at Princeton Grove.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That was not cool.
Good morning. 627, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is New Year's Day. Happy New Year's to all of you, especially to all of the people who don't know when they were born and so they have a January 1st birthday.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That is so crazy.
You know what else is really weird? You know what is the least common birthday for anybody in the United States? January 1st.
Oh.
And you think, well, what are people doing on April 1st?
Whoa, what's wrong with that?
Well, it's 9 months.
Oh, okay. If you do the, gotcha.
You know, and one, two, that's okay. Not the explanation. The second least birthday, common birthday, is Christmas.
Oh.
You know what the reason is?
Tell me.
Nobody schedules C-sections on Christmas and New Year's Day. Oh. And since so many births are C-sections, that's why very few people are born. Now, in the old days when it was all natural births or, you know, I mean, you know, it wouldn't have been that way. But that's even in spite of the fact that people who come here from other countries and do not know when they were born, because that happens a lot of times, they get assigned a January 1st birthday. Even with that, it's still by far the least common birthday in the United States, which I thought was interesting. I would have thought it was more people because of that phenomenon of the immigrants. Let's see. Steve Taylor is in for David this morning with our headlines. Steve?
Happy New Year. Well, officials in Pasadena, California right now are not going to have a very happy New Year morning. They're preparing for rain on the Rose Parade. Moderate to heavy rain is expected during the parade and possibly during the Rose Bowl itself. The parade has not seen rain since 2006, and before that, it hadn't rained since 1955. It only rained 10 times in Rose Parade history, which dates way back to 1890. And the parade's going to go on whether it rains or not.
Oh, good. Okay, you did find that out. Rain or shine. Yes, okay. Which makes sense. I mean, it can't delay. If you got it, you might as well use it.
Yeah, and especially a New Year's Day parade with all these floats decorated with flowers, and flowers will not last very long. You know, I can't say, well, we'll do it next week or the week after. It looks like several people were killed and others injured after an explosion ripped through a crowded New Year's Eve party in an alpine ski resort in Switzerland. The explosion went off about 1:30 a.m. local time in a lounge bar popular with tourists in the mountains east of Geneva and triggered a fire that spread through the bar. Nobody knows why that happened. Zoran Mamdani placed his hand on the Quran as he was sworn in as the mayor of New York City. He'll do it again later today for his public swearing in. He's the city's first Muslim mayor, and he's opting to use the copies of the Quran that belonged to his grandparents and one that belonged to a black writer and historian, Arturo Schomburg. And that's what's happening.
All right. It's almost called you, David. All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. We had, the local stories, which are weird. I guess the fireworks went off last night. They weren't very long. They were not supposed to be long. They were supposed to only be about 5 minutes for $10,000, I think. You know, a normal display is like $100,000, just for kind of perspective sake.
Ms. Foster, Happy New Year. Just after the big ball drop in New York's Times Square, the city's new mayor, Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani, is sworn in.
This is truly the honor and the privilege of a lifetime.
President Trump hosted a New Year's Eve party at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida and talked about alleged child care funding fraud in Minnesota.
We want to take back our country. Can you imagine? They stole $18 billion. That's just what we're learning about. That's peanuts. In California is worse. Illinois is worse. And sadly, New York is worse.
A federal prosecutor says half of the $18 billion spent in Minnesota since 2018 may have been stolen. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says fraud's a problem, but that Republicans are exaggerating the scale. Dozens of people are presumed dead in a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps. It happened in Kranz, Montana, Switzerland. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning and Happy New Year. It's 6:31 right now, 42 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Well, a dispute is brewing at Escambia County over who controls the taxpayer money. The Leah Gibson Foundation asked for $1,500 to cover the cost of the Feast of Love, which is a free Thanksgiving meal that fed 800 people in need. County commissioners voted yes, but the county clerk refused to issue the payment. Commissioner Mike Cola says it's a gray area about what qualifies as public purpose.
So more than likely, I think we're going to have to ask the Attorney General for an opinion. I do think that we need to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. But at the same time, I also think, what kind of community is it if we can't help our most underprivileged citizens that live among us?
The two sides may now head to the Attorney General for an opinion, and they're going to meet again on January 9th. A post office employee accused of trying to hit a child with his mail truck in Escambia County. He was charged with that. William White Jr. was arrested for Saturday's incident involving a 10-year-old boy in Ensley. The Florida Highway Patrol says White thought the boy was stealing a package because he saw him carrying it while riding his scooter. Troopers, though, say White left the package at the wrong address on Kingfisher Way, and the boy was delivering it to the right address. White is facing charges that include aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He's being held without bond. A new roundabout's coming to Pace, and not everybody there is thrilled about it. Plans have been released to construct a roundabout near Pace High School to replace the all-way stop that's currently there. Starting on January 12th, drivers will have to find an alternative route because the intersection at West Spencer Field and Giddens Lane is going to be closed for about 8 months, but with multiple schools nearby, some feel that would be a problem. Resident Angela Gray says her son goes to Pace High School.
You know, just the thought of him driving in the middle of this and being a little confused because we just don't experience enough roundabouts in this area to get a good understanding as to how to properly use them.
Gray feels a traffic light would be better than a roundabout. Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker says a stoplight was the first option they considered, but the county quickly hit a roadblock.
have it from each side of the intersection. As most people know, there's a outlying field for the Navy right beside there, and they had no interest in us acquiring any land from there, so we're able to do that with a roundabout.
Construction is going to start mid-January. The roundabout is going to be paid for with the county's capital improvement fund and local option sales tax. In our forecast, it'll be sunny with a few clouds and a high of 67 today. Tonight, partly clear, a low of 47 tomorrow. Even warmer, though, high about 71 degrees, but showers are going to move in. And right now, let's check in with John Pickens to see what's happening with traffic on the fives.
Well, we've got one accident on the big board right now. Let's see here. It's North W Street in Marcus Point Boulevard. We're seeing some traffic delays in that area, so just avoid that. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Well, 42 degrees right now in Pensacola. It's warmer than yesterday. 46 in Gulf Breeze, but it's a chilly 35 in Milton at 6:35. Next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. Concerns of fraud at the state level now drawing the attention of Capitol Hill. California Representative Ro Khanna saying earlier this week that he wants to tackle the issue and will work across the aisle to do so. Recent reports of fraud around health care in California and Minnesota are drawing the ire of the public. This move comes after Khanna called for a billionaire's tax in his state and was called out by Silicon Valley. Auto sales in 2026 expected to decline slightly, according to Cox Automotive. Their forecast for 2025 was about 16.1 million cars sold, or about even with 2024. But in 2026, the projected level will see a dip of about 2.4% to around 15.8 million. It includes factors like slower economic growth and job creation. Wall Street is off today for New Year's, but it'll be back in action on Friday. The market saw double-digit gains again in 2025. The Dow Industrial is up 11.7%. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 both up about 17%. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
What's with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they gotta front? What did we ever do to these guys that made them so violent? Ooh, but you know I'm yours. Ooh, and I know you're mine. Ooh,
7 minutes to go. Arch Manning pulls it down the sideline. Got a man. Caught. Touchdown, Texas. Lock it. Clock it.
7 minutes to go in the game in the Citrus Bowl, and Texas manages to get ahead of Michigan. And just for a fair warning or full disclosure, I did grow up a Michigan fan. I grew up in Detroit, so everybody from Detroit's a Michigan fan. Then we moved to Chicago, and I went to the University of Illinois, and then my fondness for Michigan sort of waned a little bit. But I was, you know, I always still have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for Michigan because I grew up with it. And never, ever, ever Ohio State. I mean, they're the enemy to everybody. So, you know, I'm rooting for Michigan in this game, but I don't really care that much. I just want good football. Oh my gosh, good football. So this game was really close the whole way through. It was a very interesting game, but you get to about 7 minutes and Texas gets that touchdown, Arch Manning to Kalik Lockett, 30 yards into the end zone. Okay.
It was a beautiful
Oh, that was a perfect pass too. It was just one of those like floaters into his outstretched arms as he's crossing over the goal line on the right-hand side. I mean, it's kind of one of those.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of hype around Texas to start the season, and Arch Manning and the namesake and the, you know, being a Manning kid and all that stuff, and then Texas did not work out so well. I mean, they're still a very good team, and he's still a very good player, but you know, obviously, they're not in the college football playoff. Were they 13? No, Michigan was 13th, right? No, who was 13th? Who was first out?
Texas.
Was it Texas?
Texas was 13th.
Okay. Anyway.
And I think Michigan was 18.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, so they get the score. And then Michigan's got the ball, and you know, Michigan goes two plays, nothing, third and eight. So this is three plays after the touchdown.
Underwood to pass, middle of the field, picked off at the 45. It's coming back, Smith with the INT and 5:15 to play.
So three plays later, Michigan gets picked off. So Texas has the ball again with 5 minutes to go, up by four at this point. First play from scrimmage.
With a little over 5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, Texas with possession and the lead. Arch Manning keeps it himself, and he's got nothing but chattel, real estate. He popped the clutch. Happy New Year, Longhorns! Touchdown!
He ran all over Michigan.
Yeah, he did.
Nobody accounted for him.
Nobody. They didn't even like, oh, the quarterback can run. Oh, he's fast.
Oh.
so,
Coach
yeah.
didn't tell us about that one.
60-yard touchdown, and that was the game. That was basically over the course of, let's see, one, two, three, four plays, five plays. That was the game right there. That was 14 points for Texas, and you know they run away with it. Oh, by the way, you know, I mentioned this the other day. We'd said that the game the other night, the Illinois-Tennessee game, of course, I went to Illinois, so, you know, pardon me, Tennessee fans, but, you know, that was awesome. Meg in here the other day trying, well, you know, I don't know. It was a fantastic catch when that guy went 95 yards. Yeah, it was. They lost. But so I always just want good games. I want my teams to win, but I want good games. Even the USC-TCU game, that was a great game. They get into overtime. USC gets a field goal. So TCU is, you know, trying to do their thing. They get pushed because it's in college, you start at the 25 and you got to score. And then after, what is it? By the time you get to a third overtime, you have to go for 2 points on your touchdowns. But in the first overtime, USC gets a field goal. So they're up 27-24. And the TCU's got the ball on the 25. They get pushed back. So they're at third and 20 from the 35, and they're just hoping to be able to get in field goal range at this point because it's a hope and a prayer field goal from the 35. So they're just hoping to get, like, back close enough that maybe they can tie the game in overtime. Oh, no.
Seals with a check down. And Payne makes one tackle, scoots down the sideline, stays in bounds! Oh, no. Did he just end the game? Touchdown!
They just dump it off to the left side, hoping to pick up a couple. That's the ref. That's the umpire saying the game is not over. Because they have to do replay because his feet were so close to being out of bounds that they have to look at it. The defender for USC kind of, like, tackled him-ish and pushed him. And I thought he was out of bounds. Personally, I thought he was out of bounds because it was on the far side of the field. Somehow, I don't know how he had the presence of mind to keep his feet in. It was, and then just right down, touchdown. That's it. They won. It's all my ambient sound effects here this morning.
I know,
yeah,
right?
So amazing stuff. And then, do I want to talk about Miami and Ohio State since we're doing football?
Mine as well.
I I kind of feel like I want to save that one. I've done a lot of football this morning. We'll talk about other stuff. I'll come back to the football later on. So you know the story about Minnesota with the kid care fraud stuff, and now it looks like the price tag on that is in the vicinity of $9 billion. That's $9 billion. It's an $18 billion, like, is the total payments to the state, I think, and they're saying like they think about half of it's fraudulent. And by the way, I don't want to pour cold water on the video that's been seen well over 100 million times now. What's his name? Tim Shirley, I think, is that his name? Anyway, the guy who did the independent investigation on all this and exposed all the... Yes and no. There's already been a case in the, like, $150 million range that they've already got, like, 70 convictions. So this is not something that was unknown. What I think was not known was the scope. You know, they knew there was some fraud. They did not know just how widespread it was and did not know the dollar value. So I'm not – he was essential in getting out the sort of second wave or third wave of investigations. But this was not a completely unknown or unreported on thing. I mean, think of how long a court case takes. You know, court cases take a year or two, and we've got like 60 convictions already in this, in one slice of this issue. So it's not as though this was completely unknown. But again, the scale is unbelievable. So now you have, like, the federal government decided to cut off funding for the state. Was the announcement on, Tuesday. The announcement on Tuesday was that they're going to end funding to the state because until they can get it figured out. And then the announcement yesterday is, no, everybody doesn't get funding anymore. Like, we're just cutting off all the funding to all 50 states. What? Because their argument is, we don't feel like we know where the money is properly going, so while we figure that out, we're going to cut it all off. Kind of like, remember the USAID?
To everyone?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just Minnesota.
It was for a day. It was just for the day. And then they announced yesterday that they're going to cut it off. Child care payments are frozen in all 50 states.
Hmm.
Which, you remember when the USAID thing happened, and instead of reviewing the programs to see which programs were right and which ones were wrong, they just ended it all temporarily. And I mean, permanently for a lot of it. And what did I say at the time? I said that don't take a hatchet or an axe or a chainsaw or, gosh, TNT to a thing where you just really don't know what's good and bad. Well, same thing here. I mean, there's a lot of people, kids, who are really depending on these services and these funds.
Parents, yeah.
Right. Okay. And if you don't know, you don't know. And pausing everything is not the best answer unless you have good reason to believe. I mean, even in Minnesota, and I hate to say it this way, but it's only half that we think is fraudulent, right? I mean, the other half, there's no reason to think that it's not going for good stuff. So do you pause all of it while you figure out if there's more than just half? I mean, at least I kind of understand that. But in the other 49 states, what'd they do wrong? It's like the, you know, you get one person does a crime and so you ban all people from that country. What? What? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, that's just not a rational response. So, you know, the Trump administration, I think, dramatically overreacting and really hurting people because of what they're doing here. Even though, again, Minnesota would have been understandable. The other 49 states, persuade me. 647 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened in North W Street and Marcus Point Boulevard. Seeing just some minor delays, but you need to avoid that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, on that story, by the way, there's actually another dimension of it. And I don't want to fixate on this slice, but, you know, when public officials propose ridiculous things, they're, come on. I mean, just, but you have a Minnesota Republican. By the way, people are calling for Tim Walz to resign, which, I mean, that at this point, that makes sense. You know, who was in charge, bro? Somebody's got to, you know, take the responsibility for it. Well, not me. Oh, what was the... I saw a picture yesterday. No, this is... I'm going to feel bad for sharing this, but, you know, it was funny. I saw a thing on Facebook yesterday. It was a guy holding up a sign, you know, holding up like a protest sign, the kind of thing you'd see. Holding up the sign like he's in Minnesota where it's cold. And the sign says, We shouldn't let the bad actions of 259,553 Somalis ruin it for the other 30.
Oh, no.
I mean.
Oh, it, boy.
It does look like an awful lot of Somalis were involved in this in Minnesota. So, yeah. You know, when you're talking about starting to approach the GDP of Somalia, I mean, yes, I'm against inaccurate stereotypes, and I'm sure there are many, many thousands of good, decent, honest, non-criminal Somalis in the United States. But it was kind of funny. This is the whole, you know, reverse stereotyping. Okay, so back to this Minnesota Republican who is now, his answer is not just Tim Walz. He thinks that everybody who is involved in this fraud that has become a citizen needs to be denaturalized. I mean, have their citizenship stripped away from them. I understand the impulse. I mean, I understand the desire to punish somebody in a way that's not actually allowed. But if somebody has gone through the process of becoming a citizen and then they commit a crime, the solution for that is jail or fines. Because they're full citizens. This business of we don't like what they did after we granted them citizenship and therefore we take away their citizenship is a way of saying that anybody who's naturalized isn't a real citizen. And that's false. Born in the family, adopted in the family, you're a member of the family. Born into the country, adopted into the country, naturalized in the country, you're a member of the country. Now, there is, you can get denaturalized. And the grounds for denaturalization are actually super clear. If you engage in fraud in order to get your naturalization, you can have it stripped from you later. And also, if, like, say, a spouse, you know, your husband becomes a citizen and then that citizenship is used to bring you in, your citizenship can be jeopardized because your husband committed fraud. You were never a citizen in the first place because you didn't actually pass the test. You didn't actually, if you fabricate documentation or you go under a fake name, you know, fraud. There is a provision in 316.2 in the federal statutes. It says number 7 is for all the relevant time periods under this paragraph, the person has been and continues to be a person of good moral character, attached to the principles of the Constitution of the United States and favorably disposed towards the good order and happiness of the United States, which means you have to be a good person during the time prior to being naturalized. As in, if you discover that they were criminals or that they were working against the United States, you can denaturalize them for that reason too. But all of that is prior to getting naturalized. So if somebody's law-abiding and then they engage in massive COVID child care fund fraud afterwards, you don't get to take away their citizenship. You put them in jail, period. But we have, I mean, the administration, this is, who was the Minnesota Republican who said this? Tom Emmer. He's calling for the denaturalization and deportation of every Somali engaged in fraud in Minnesota. I get it. I understand the impulse, but that's not lawful. That's not how naturalization works. And now, also, by the way, the Trump administration is doing something not quite like this, but, you know, they're pursuing denaturalization for a lot of people as well. And now, apparently, they want to have quotas for denaturalization. They want to denaturalize 100 to 200 people per month this year. What? In the first administration, about 170 got denaturalized, sent to court. It would be an unbelievably difficult thing to bump that number up to, you know, 1,000 to 2,000. But also, you shouldn't have quotas for denaturalizing people. I mean, that's, you know, we're going to have quotas for speeding. What does that mean? Well, you artificially generate speeding tickets. People either are or are not guilty of fraud justifying their denaturalization. You can amp up resources to go find them, but having a goal of deportations and denaturalizations is stupid. I mean, that's just like, that's not how this works. Happy New Year. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, The Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on The Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Good morning, 6:55, News Radio 92.3. Happy New Year. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened in North W Street and Marcus Point Boulevard. First responders are on the scene, and they're trying to move that wreck out of the middle of the intersection, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. We got David Wayne is out all this week on vacation, so we've got... Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
President Trump is abandoning the efforts to deploy the National Guard troops in three major cities. The move comes after the Supreme Court ruled last week Trump could not send the National Guard members to the Chicago area over the objections of the state officials there. In a post yesterday, Trump says the troops will return to Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, quote, when crime begins to soar again, unquote.
Yeah, without the National Guard, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket, and he's going to be called in as a savior to fix everything, because then the Democrats will want him to come in.
Oh,
he thinks. I'm not sure that's going to play out that way. But, you know, honestly, it's I like seeing the system work. He tries a thing. The Supreme Court and other courts say, no, you can't do that. And then he backs off. I mean, that's
the guardrails.
That's literally how this process is supposed to work if you have somebody who's, you know, trying, you know, exceeding their authority.
Right. Well, average gas prices across the U.S. are about the same as they were last week, heading into, of course, the brand new year. Average cost of a gallon of gas is $2.83 a gallon. That's nationally, down a penny from last week. Highest is, you know, Hawaii at $4.41. Cheapest is Oklahoma, $2.25. Although around here, they seem the gas prices seem to be stabilizing around $2.57 to about $2.60 as we drive around, which is pretty good for us.
I'm getting it cheaper than that.
Like, I got it at $2.36 yesterday.
Where?
Yeah, $2.40 at BJ's. I know, and BJ's is like a club, but still. You know.
But this is over in Milton on Highway 90. $2.36.
Yeah, I'm writing these
well,
down.
Well under $2.50 for sure, I think.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. 6:57 on News Radio 92.3. If you got a kid who's struggling with math at all, or, you know, it might not so much be struggling, but maybe you perceive that they could be better at it, more comfortable, more confident about it, and you just like them to do better because you recognize that, you know, math is a very important skill. And, you know, once you get even a little bit behind, it just kind of cascades and it tends to get worse. That's what Mathnasium's there for. They get it. They understand. And, I mean, a lot of times the frustration is, like, parents don't know how the students are being taught in the schools and the way they were taught is different, so it's hard to help them at home. Like, all of that stuff. They totally get it. So what you do is you bring your student in for a completely free assessment. They take a little test, and they've basically the folks at Mathnasium, who are, by the way, dear friends of ours, and, I mean, really wonderful people. My son worked at Mathnasium for a year, so we're big believers. We love their program. And you get a free assessment, and then they'll figure out, okay, here's the stuff they're good at, here's the stuff that they can use some work on, and they will specifically tutor them in the direction of improving those skills. And they see results like upwards of 90% of students see an improvement in their grades, 93% of parents report an improvement in attitude, 94% of parents report an improvement in child skills and understanding. And that's what you want. You want kids to be comfortable and happy and enjoy the process of doing math. So stop by for your free assessment. Mathnasium is next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. Oh, by the way, one of the things they've got right now, it's a new year, is you can stop by for any reason and just pick up one of their math resolutions tracking charts, math tracker, and they're getting, those are free to everybody, and it'll help your kid just kind of, or you, whichever, kind of pay attention to their math and get a better grip on how they're doing in it, and you can just get that whether you do an assessment or not. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, did you see this thing about postmarks are changed now?
What?
Okay, so historically, when you put something in the mail, the day it was put in the bin is the postmark date. Not anymore. Starting back on, I think it was December 24th. This has been in effect for almost 2 weeks now. The postmark is now when it gets processed at the facility, which can be the same day. It can also be a day or two or three or four later. So the reason this matters is because things postmark for legal, things postmark for bills, things postmark for taxes, things postmark for elections. So the Postal Service is no longer postmarking automatically the same day you drop it off. I mean, if it were me, I'd go to the counter and make sure it gets postmarked. Local news.